welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com in the sunny climes of Western Japan, where the glorious sounds of summer threaten to overwhelm my conversation.
And this is James Evan Pilato in Portland, Oregon, where you never really know what it's going to be here. Overcast all morning, and now it's getting hotter and hotter. And the news is hotter and hotter, if I can use that ham-fisted transition, James. I think, I don't know how many weeks in a row, but we have definitely covered the situation in Syria for the past several weeks. So yet again, we'll lead with the situation in Syria. And we'll take it from VoltaireNet. Syria reportedly eliminated Bandar bin Sultan in retaliation for Damascus bombing. Though not yet announced by the Saudi authorities, the death of Prince Bandar bin Sultan bin Abdulaziz Al Saud has been confirmed to Voltaire Network by unofficial sources, says the misspelling on Voltaire Net. Sources, of course. Prince Bandar had just been appointed head of the Saudi intelligence on July 24th, a promotion which was interpreted as a reward for having organized the attack in Damascus on July 18th. The Saudi services, with logistical support from the CIA, had managed to blow up the headquarters of the Syrian National Security during a crisis cell meeting. Three generals whose names I will not mangle right here, were killed instantly. Meanwhile, General Ikhtiar died soon after from his wounds. This operation was called Damascus Volcano and was the signal for the attack on the capital by a swarm of mercenaries, mainly coming from Jordan. Prince Bandar was himself the target of a bomb attack on July 26th and subsequently succumbed to his injuries. A brilliant and cynical personality, Prince Bandar was 63 years old. He was the son of Prince Sultan, the irremovable defense minister from 1963 until his death last year, and of a slave, son of Prince Sultan and of a slave. Confidant of King Fahd, Bandar was ambassador to Washington throughout his reign, 83 to 2005, and here's where most folks know him from. He became close to George H. Bush, then Vice President of the United States, who regarded him as an adopted son, prompting the U.S. press to dub him Bandar Bush. Endowed with an outstanding genius for covert action, he brokered the Al-Yamama arms deal, managing to divert more than £1 billion, according to British official sources. He then used this windfall and many more to finance the activities of jihadist groups around the world, including, of course, Al-Qaeda. A serious blow to the whole system of Western covert action in the Muslim world. It took Syria only 1 week to mount this spectacular reprisal operation. So, even some of the most recent reporting we have is still silence, that the Saudi government has said nothing. So also from Debka.com. So yes, we've got VoltaireNet and we've got Debka.com. Saudi silence on intelligence chief Bandar's fate denotes panic, where they note, disquiet in Washington, Jerusalem, and a row of Middle East capitals is gaining ground the longer the Saudi government stays silent on the reports of the assassination of the newly reported Saudi intelligence chief, Prince Bandar bin Sultan. The last note from the Asia Times is an article actually from Pepe Escobar, asking, where is Prince Bandar? And it, of course, links and references what he refers to, the somewhat fanciful take from Debka file. Another week, another caustic, amazing, disturbing turn of events.
It certainly is. It's a pretty amazing story, and we'll have to see what gets reported and when and how it gets reported. But the loss of Bandar Bush is quite a big deal, I think, for Saudi Arabia, especially because he had just been appointed to a new position as a security chief. So very interesting. And I think there will be large-scale ramifications from this, but perhaps too early to really be saying what definitively did happen. Of course, VoltaireNet has their sources claiming that it was this Syrian operation. I would suggest people also read the Escobar article for a different take on it, that it probably wasn't Syrians per se involved in this. But at any rate, it is an interesting turn of events, and we'll have to see what, if any, ramifications there will be for this, because obviously if Saudi Arabia isn't even acknowledging it at this point, then there is not going to be a ramification on the geopolitical stage, at least not at this point.
So for that, and then also, James, you know, we've got Mitt Romney bumbling around on his tour as we reach, you know, as we've talked about, you know, the interminable presidential election season here in the United States. All of those things swirling around again, it's volatile. And that's a word we'll use as we get into our second story this week from the New York Times. And this is just posted a few hours ago. Wave of volatile trading unsettles U.S. markets. Or if you'd like a different liquid metaphor, flood of errant trades is a black eye for Wall Street. An automated stock trading program accidentally flooded the market with millions of trades Wednesday, August 1st, still here in the United States, spreading turmoil across Wall Street and drawing renewed attention to the fragility and instability of the nation's stock markets. While the markets quickly recovered, it was the latest black eye for the financial markets and suggests that regulators have not been able to curb market disruptions that have led to frequent halts in trading and wild swings in shares. The machines have taken over, right? Said Patrick Healy, chief executive of the Issuer Advisory Group, a capital markets consulting firm. When events like this happen, they just reaffirm that these aren't investors, these are traders, with a D. In the latest incident, the errant trades began hitting exchanges almost as soon as the opening bell rang this morning and came from a single New Jersey broker that specializes in computer-driven trading, the Knight Capital Group, K-N-I-G-H-T. More than 100 companies, including big names like Alcoa, Citigroup, and Ford, saw the prices of their shares suddenly spike up or down. New York Stock Exchange said later that it would cancel the trading in the six stocks that saw especially extreme movements. You think there's somebody watching the control panel somewhere, said Larry Tabb, head of the Tabb Group, a market research firm. Things can get out of hand very quickly, and there is nobody who can immediately do anything about it, said Eric Hunsader, the founder of data firm Nanex. More on this story, I hopped over to CNBC, where we'll, again, everything we cite, everything will be included in the show notes. And again, we remind folks to go to newworldnextweek.com for all the information. New Stock Exchange to cancel trades in six stocks affected by glitch, and latest market glitch shows trading out of control. Those both from CNBC. And while I was on the website, I happened to look at the other, you know, breaking news related stories on the sidebar and saw this one. Ron Paul says, don't end the Fed, just end secrecy. James?
All right, very interesting. Well, that Ron Paul quote is definitely worthy of an investigation into itself. But talking about the flash crash and the algorithmic trading, people might want to cast their mind back to May 2010, where the New York Stock Exchange dropped 1,000 points in a matter of minutes based on the algorithmic trading that now dominates trading on the floor of the stock exchange. Because, of course, do we need any more indication or any more specific proof of how the trading in the stock markets is completely manipulated and completely subject to the whims of these bots that are now doing all of this, so that we have the dark night sinking, I suppose, in terms of the night capital in this algorithm that went berserk for whatever reason and decided to buy high and sell low over and over and over and over and over multiple times per second until it had basically wiped out the value of Knight Capital's investments. I mean, just a bizarre little glitch in the matrix that shows that the matrix is there. And so my question for people who are invested in this system and who are buying stocks on the stock exchange, I just have to shake my head and wonder. I mean, I think we can see from this that physical gold and silver is the best investment and the best hedge against inflation that one can have this day and age. If you're buying stocks on these manipulated exchanges, you better be prepared for random bots to come along and wipe out your value in a matter of seconds.
James, great catch on the night meme. I had not caught that yet. And I think if you see the film, which I haven't and won't, that's part of the story. It's basically messing with the stock markets and trying to set everybody back to zero. So again, you don't have to be a student of the occult to kind of look around in the day's news and definitely know that strange things are afoot. Our third and final story, James, will go to the world of food. And of course, as an appetizer for our weekly Food World Order episodes. This comes from Payson Roundup, and this comes out of Arizona. Harvesting Hope, Community Garden's first harvest goes to the food bank. Payson, Arizona's Community Garden turned out its first batch of crops this season, Tuesday, July 31st, providing needed fresh produce to local food banks. Organizers say the inaugural garden has sprouted nicely, fulfilling its mission to help feed the hungry and bring the community together. Along the way, dozens of new friendships have developed, and at least one family reunited, and there is quite a lengthy take on one particular family who started to work together and brought them back together. Tending their plots just a few dozen feet apart helped heal decades of pain. Garden organizer Roger Kremeyer said he never thought when he dreamed up opening a community garden, it would also act as family therapy. But it has, reuniting friends, fostering camaraderie, and even giving people hope. Payson Mayor Kenny Evans, who has his own area in the 90-plot garden, said the garden has not only turned a blighted piece of ground into something beautiful, it has renewed spirits. It helps people understand that in these troubled and uncertain times, there are some basic principles that can not only help us feel confident in our lives, but give us a sense of security that we can't get in any other way. There is something about dirt on your hands and picking your own vegetable that gives you a sense of peace that the world is going to be okay. That's amazing. And I know we strive and not always successfully to try and have some good news. And there are so many other kind of unbelievable food stories going on in the world, James, from the Chick-fil-A PSYOP to an Oregon man being jailed for collecting rainwater. James?
Unfortunately, those stories continue to pop up, but at the very least, we have these stories to prop up against them, and people are always wondering about solutions and positive ways to affect the system. Well, this is it, and it's not easy work, and it's not glorious and, you know, glamorous work. It's roll up your sleeves and get your hands dirty kind of work, but honestly and truly, there is no solution that's going to come from above, from some political messiah on the political stage, the puppets theater that they parade before us. The real change starts at home, and the real solution starts at community gardens, alternative currencies, open source manufacturing, and all of the other ways that people can get involved in their own communities into actually getting themselves off of the control grid system and to stop pumping their dollars into the corporate system that is enslaving them. So this is the type of story that I think truly does show the way out of this mess. And the more of this we see, the less we'll see of people being dependent on the system that is, as I say, enslaving them in the matrix.
You're exactly right, James. So in closing, I'll make the brief note, James, Gore Vidal recently passed away. So I would definitely implore folks to go check out his interview where he endorsed David Ray Griffin's book, The New Pearl Harbor, and rejecting the official 9/11 lie. James, for all that and so much more, my flagship site is MediaMonarchy.com, which links to all the other sites in the Media Monarchy Kingdom. And again, as you noted, we will be together tonight for another episode of Food World Order, covering all the latest in the world of food, health, and the environment.
That's right, Corbett Report Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. You can tune in and listen live on republicbroadcasting.org, or the radio or video podcast is available after the show airs on corbettreport.com. So until then, thank you all out there for watching, and thank you, James.
Thanks so much, man. Take care.